Iran's president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, told a New York audience 3 years ago that Iran does not have any homosexuals. Human rights groups say the Islamic Republic is working to make that claim a reality. Iran continues to execute gay men and lesbians. NPR's Peter Kenyon spoke with one young gay Iranian who has left his home country for Turkey.
It was an odd moment in President Ahmadinejad's 2007 U.S. visit when he denied the existence of gay Iranians.
In Iran, we don't have homosexuals like in your country. We don't have that in our country.
An aide later clarified that Ahmadinejad meant that Iran hasn't got many homosexuals compared with America. But Ramin Haqju, a slender 25-year-old with a red streak in his long curly hair, still laughs when he recalls the incident. His smile vanishes, however, when he talks about what it's like to live as a gay man in Iran. In an Istanbul cafe, Haqju spoke of friends estranged from their families, living in fear and depression, wondering if their future holds prison or worse.
It's really hard. We live our lives, but in secret. You never know when the authorities will come after you. At the moment, there's a kid named Ibrahim Hamidi. They're planning to execute him. It's so easy for that to happen these days.
Haqju came to Turkey in May, fully intending to return to Tehran and his family. But now he's applying for asylum to the United States and says he can't go back as long as this government holds power. He says he would face arrest not just for his sexuality, but for taking part in the protests that rocked Iran in 2009 after the elections, attacked as fraudulent, that returned Ahmadinejad to power. Despite a media blackout, Iranians managed to post on the internet glimpses and sounds of their demonstrations and the brutal repression by pro-regime forces. Haqju says a week after the election, he and some friends took to the streets, and he remembers feeling excited and happy to see the crowds protesting the election results, right up until the moment he was shot.
I remember seeing a woman crossing the alley and a besieged militiaman aiming his gun at her. I shouted and she ran back. Then I noticed the besiegee was now aiming at us. I started to turn away when I heard the shot. I was on the ground. I couldn't breathe. Cold sweat was pouring off me. People carried me into a house. I pulled up my shirt and saw something that looked like my intestine sticking out. After about a half hour, a guy knocked at the door and said, "I have a van."
After finding the local hospital swarming with security men, Haqju says he was driven to a private hospital far from the demonstrations, where they told the doctor he'd had a bicycle accident. While he was in the recovery room, he says a man came up to him and asked questions. In a haze of sedatives, Haqju told him he'd been shot. When the doctor found out about the inquisitive visitor, he immediately signed Haqju's release papers. Haqju says he escaped the notice of the security forces until this May when he was visiting Turkey. The previous fall, he'd agreed to be part of a friend's documentary about Iran's gay community and the opposition Green Movement. While he was in Turkey, Voice of America interviewed him and broadcast a part of the documentary in which he talked about being shot during the protests and about Ahmadinejad's views on homosexuality. The next day, he was told security forces raided his house in Tehran and took his father for questioning. Haqju went straight to the UN Refugee Agency and applied for asylum.
I realized I can never go back until the government changes. So I'm trying to find somewhere I can fight for the rights of Iranians.
Haqju says he feels optimistic about his application to live in the U.S., but he doesn't want to go without his partner Nima, an artist in Tehran. Thousands of young Iranians have fled either because of their sexuality or their political beliefs. Ramin Haqju has run afoul of the regime on both counts, and he wonders when he will draw his next breath in his homeland. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.